Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. I'm excited, ladies and gentlemen, about having Ron Chernow on the show. He's the author of this a massive work. I call it a massive work for covering a massive life. He's the author of the book Alexander Hamilton. Many of you who've been listening to the show know how fascinated I have been with Alexander Hamilton. We've talked about him. I introduced you to the curator of an exhibit in New York that was in New York all winter. Jim Basker's been on, and we've talked about Alexander Hamilton before. Ron is, by according to Newsday, is one of today's best writers of history and biography. Fortune magazine called him America's best business biographer. Many of you have read his biography of Rockefeller, and he's written a number of other books, but he's our guest today. Ron Chernow, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on this massive and very important work.
Thank you. Well, you know, I think the timing was right for this. I think that Hamilton was in this spate of books about founding fathers, that Hamilton was very much the neglected and overlooked and underrated figure. So I was glad that I came along at this moment with his biography.
Well, I agree with you. But and yet, even as underrated and under-recognized as he was, and misunderstood, especially during his own time, where would we be without Alexander Hamilton? If Alexander Hamilton had remained on that Caribbean island where he was born and never gotten to the United States, have you thought about where America would be right now without an Alexander Hamilton?
Yes, you know, at the time, the United States had only 4 million people. I don't think that there was another citizen in the United States at that time who had the combination of political savvy and financial understanding and administrative skill to have done what he did, which was, as first Treasury Secretary, he created most of the federal government. The Treasury Secretary, the Treasury Department, was much larger than the rest of the government combined. And so, as first Treasury Secretary, he had to create the first tax system, the first budget system,
first bank.
Coast Guard, first Customs Service, first Central Bank, the forerunner of the Fed, thank you. Also, we had financed the Revolutionary War with debt. So we started out with this massive debt. We were like the third world deadbeat of the day. We were in arrears on our principal and interest. Hamilton came along, restored American credit, and he really gave us the prosperity that then allowed the democratic experiment to flourish. If the Washington and Adams and Jefferson administrations had taken place against the backdrop of economic recession, I'm not sure that the democratic experiment would have survived. So he was an absolutely fundamental figure in all sorts of ways.
Well, you know, when I think about the different founders, I think about what each one of them gave to us, and they all were highly intelligent men, but they all had their flaws, of course. Mm-hmm. But when I think about one of the things I like to do, two things is I'd like to think back on at least one significant thing that each one brought to the table into this country that mm-hmm. without which we would be the lesser for. And also, I also like to think about how would they behave in today's world? But back to my first point, you know, when I think about Washington, what a great impact he had in the way he handled himself as the first president. You know, that was important, and others offered tremendous contributions. But Hamilton he touched so many different parts of the origins of our country, maybe more than anybody else. Would you agree with that?
Yes. No, I think that he contributed something that nobody else could have. And it was at the time Thomas Jefferson, James Madison envisioned America as this agrarian paradise. We would all be small farmers. Hamilton had a vision of America that's very close to the America that we inhabit today. He saw a powerful nation state. state. He saw a country that would have great cities, manufacturing, trading corporations, banks, right, stock exchanges.
He didn't come from a landed gentry background either, did he?
It's a phenomenal story. He's an illegitimate orphaned kid from the Caribbean who had this ghastly Dickensian childhood. His father abandons the family when he's 11. His mother dies of tropical fever when he's 13. He's then farmed out to a first cousin who commits suicide a year later. So this is a story of a kid who, at 17, is toiling away as an impoverished clerk at a trading house on St. Croix in the Caribbean. 5 years later, through an almost miraculous series of events, he's chief of staff to George Washington.
To George Washington. Ron, hold on to that thought. We're going to pick this story up on this great founder, Alexander Hamilton, with the great author of this book, Alexander Hamilton, Ron Chernow, right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Ron Chernow, the author of Alexander Hamilton. It's a bestseller and just doing so well. And congratulations again, Ron, on the success of this book.
My pleasure. Good timing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Ron, we were talking about Hamilton's early years. He was an orphan, basically. He came to the United States as a teenager, and then in his mid-20s, he'd already risen to an executive position, a senior position, as chief of staff with General Washington during the Revolutionary War. And that was really his relationship with General Washington really was a launching pad for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really, I think, the essential relationship in early American history, along with that between Jefferson and Madison. But Washington and Hamilton really complete each other, because Washington is a great politician, a man of great integrity, patriotism, courage, vision, but he's not a great policymaker. Hamilton is the greatest policymaker of all times, but he's not a great politician. He doesn't have Washington's sterling judgment. And so first, during 4 years in the American Revolution, and then during the 5 years that Hamilton is Treasury Secretary, Hamilton and Washington really form an unbeatable team in terms of laying solid foundations for the country.
Well, when Hamilton, you mentioned that he wasn't a politician, that's evidenced by the fact that even people who at one time was close to him wound up not being so close to him. What was it about him that didn't make people love him all the time?
Well, Hamilton was a genius, and unfortunately, he knew that he was a genius. And so he was a very, for his admirers, he was this very charismatic and brilliant and dashing figures. But for his opponents, they saw him as a very arrogant and conceited person. And Hamilton was a polarizing figure because he had very strong and definite opinions, which he expressed at extraordinary length. And so he
is that why they sometimes call him the first New Yorker?
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I read a lot of descriptions. Hamilton was from New York, and you read a lot of descriptions of New Yorkers at the time. It says that they talked fast, that they had sharp elbows. The stereotype of New Yorkers was already there at the time that Hamilton was there.
Ron's a Brooklynite, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I like to tease my New York friends whenever I get a chance. But the way you were describing him reminded me of some friends of mine who live there today.
Well, Hamilton marches through life with an uncanny knack for making both friends and enemies. And unfortunately, his enemies were very powerful. His enemies turned out to be John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and James Monroe.
And Aaron Burr.
Right. So you notice that I just mentioned four presidents and one vice president of the United States. And actually, one of the reasons why Hamilton was really vilified in the court of history is that after his death, he had all of these powerful enemies who then occupied the White House in turn, and they were all very long-lived and eloquent men who put forth their version of history. And, of course, poor Hamilton was dead by 49.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I've read, Ron, is that even those who despised him in as the person, later, if not contemporary with his life, but later wrote very important things about how much they respected what he'd accomplished in his intelligence.
This was someone who whose intelligence was instantly recognized by people. Also, his integrity. He was an absolutely incorruptible public official. But he fought very, very fiercely for his views. And because his view of the future of the country was diametrically opposed to Jefferson's views, you know, Jefferson wanted states' rights and he wanted an agricultural country. Hamilton wanted a strong central government. He wanted cities and manufacturing. It was really a tribute to Hamilton's intelligence that he inspired such fears in his enemies, because they felt that he was all the more dangerous for being so brilliant.
He was such a prolific writer, as you point out in the book. I mean, the man was, you called him a house on fire when we were off the air. The man was so prolific and so well-spoken, so able to get his strong beliefs out and to really convince people. Do you think that was one of the reasons why some people feared him?
Yes, I think so. Hamilton was somebody, if he wanted to pick a bone with you politically, you might wake up one morning and there'd be a series of, you know, 25 articles on 25 days attacking you and your politics. If Washington asked him for a memo, he was able to overnight toss off 10,000-20,000 word memo expressing just superhuman. Now, this was a man, Jim, who was dead by the age of 49, who left behind 22,000 pages of collected papers. This must be the maximum number of words that a human being can produce in that many years on Earth.
Right.
It's very hard when you look at his papers to believe that a single human being did that.
And how that he had to create something like that. I mean, you and I, with our computers, you know, would not be that hard. But for somebody like that with a quill and parchment. Quickly, I want to move in. We're almost out of time for this segment. We got one more segment, but I want to talk when we come back about how this man has had an impact even today on small business owners in America. The contribution of what he did, and folks, I'll give you a hint. Where are you getting your money for you growing your business today? You're getting it from the banking system. And so that'll give you a hint about where I'm headed with this. We're going to talk to Ron Chernow some more about his book and the man, Alexander Hamilton, right after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, with our first, hopefully not our last, interview with our new friend Ron Chernow, who's the author of Alexander Hamilton. He's also the author of Titan and also The House of Morgan. These are business biographies that many of you have seen before. And Ron, again, congratulations on this book. It's very important work on a very important life. And the work that you put into that, I just want to thank you for that, making this for chronicling this, the life of Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, that's kind of you to say so, Jim. Thank you.
Where is the book available?
The book should be available everywhere. It has been very, very widely distributed, both in bookstores on the internet.
Now, it's just now out in. It's been out in hardback for about a year.
It just came out in paperback.
But now, not paperback.
Just came out in paperback. It should be in every bookstore in the country.
Right. Ron, let's talk about the impact that Alexander Hamilton had on modern-day 21st century small business owners. One of the things that they might be surprised about is for me to suggest that one of the things that he did for us was to encourage the federal government to assume the debts of the Revolutionary War debts of the states.
That's right. A lot of the individual states had taken on heavy debt during the Revolutionary War. And Hamilton wanted, and he succeeded in this, he wanted the federal government to assume all of that debt from the states. Now, this sounds crazy. Why would the federal government voluntarily take on all of this additional debt? Well, we had 13 squabbling states. Hamilton wanted to unify those 13 states into one strong country. And he knew that if the federal government took over all of the debt, that all of the creditors would transfer their interest and allegiance to the federal government. So it was one of the most important things that was done in the early history of the country.
But it also
binding the 13 states together.
Exactly, it bound them together, and it taught them to to work together a little bit, maybe a little bit better in the future. And look at what, look at the seeds and the branches that grew out of maybe that one issue, which we now know. I mean, today is the anniversary of Florida becoming a U.S. territory. And then ultimately, of course, a state, for example. I mean, would that have happened had each one of those states felt the individual responsibility for the Revolutionary War debt?
You know, I don't know, because we almost take for granted nowadays that when the Constitution was passed that all of these states would combine to form a single nation. Whereas if you go back to the time, there was a lot of talk about secession. There was a fear that there would be breakaway confederacies. There were fear of foreign plots and invasions. The success of this country was not a foregone conclusion at all. And so the fact that we were able to create a country that was both democratic and prosperous made the idea of these various territories becoming states much, much more attractive than it might have been otherwise. Otherwise, they might have been interested. Remember, England, France, Spain, they were still active in North America.
Well, what it was as opposed to the colonial model, it actually became kind of a franchise model. They kept scaling what had been successful in the 13 colonies. They kept scaling that across this country. One of the things, Ron, that we know is that small business owners could not exist as we exist today were it not for our ability to borrow money from banks. How much of that do we owe to the vision of Alexander Hamilton?
Well, he literally created the banking system because he created the Bank of the United States. It was the first central bank, forerunner of the Federal Reserve System. Created the Bank of New York, the second private bank in the United States, still the oldest continuously traded stock on the New York Stock Exchange. But Hamilton also created the capital markets. I'll tell you about an interesting piece of research I did. I called up the New York Stock Exchange archivist, and I said, when Hamilton was Treasury Secretary, what stocks and bonds were traded on Wall Street? The archivist said five. Three were issues of Treasury securities created by Hamilton. The fourth was the stock of the Bank of the United States, created by Hamilton. And the fifth was the stock of the Bank of New York, created by Alexander Hamilton.
Wow.
So Hamilton literally created every negotiable security of his time.
Wow.
Amazing. So he really started the capital markets.
Well, he really did. And look at the wealth that has been created from that. Look at how that has been leveraged around this country, and also around the world. And if you think about the impact of the United States on the world, the good things that it has wrought around the world, it's easy to see why Alexander Hamilton was clearly one of the most important people in modern history. And Ron, we've run out of time. Will you come back another day and talk about this important person?
Oh, it would be my pleasure, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. It's been a great time having you here. And let's do it again real soon. Ron Chernow, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Alexander Hamilton, out today in paperback. Don't miss the opportunity to see what Ron has to say about this great American. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.